Imagine a dinner party south of France, all sparkling crystal and ball gowns, but then two guests who loathe each other are seated next to each other. Quel faux pas. That's a bit of what's happening at the Cannes Film Festival with the new film Grace of Monaco, the French filmmakers feuding with American producer Harvey Weinstein right up to the film's opening. Nicole Kidman stars as Grace Kelly, who of course became Princess Grace in neighboring Monaco, the wife of Prince Rainier.
I can be a mother and a wife and hold down two jobs without the people getting too upset, can't I?
What about the prince?
What about the prince? The prince is very supportive.
Ray is never going to...
A little of the trailer from Grace of Monaco. The feud over the film, which extends to the real royal family, is the talk of Cannes. But what else is going on? Joining us from the French Riviera is Steven Zajcik. He's film writer for the Los Angeles Times. Steve, good to talk to you as always.
Same here. Greetings, à Cannes.
And tell us, first of all, some of the intrigue behind this film, Grace of Monaco.
Well, this has been one of those classic kind of international film dramas that, frankly, is a lot more interesting off-screen than it is on-screen. You know, this is a movie that Harvey Weinstein boarded to distribute in the U.S., even though it was being produced in France, and immediately after the cut was turned in, began warring with the French filmmakers over the movie, and that's really continued right up until the opening night of the festival. The interesting thing for Harvey is that the movie that played the opening night was the version the French filmmakers wanted, and it totally bombed. People really disliked it, very melodramatic, very overwrought. So we may end up with a situation now where Harvey Weinstein, again, the U.S. kind of film magnate, has cut his own version, and we may never see the French version in the U.S. But just to kind of debacle all around and to add insult to injury, the Monaco royal family has basically disavowed the film, saying it does not do justice to either Prince Rainier or Grace Kelly. So it's been a fun drama, but not a particularly pretty one.
Well, so don't sit Nicole Kidman next to the first family of Monaco. Let's move on to some of the other films. Foxcatcher, it's a very dark subject. It's the story of John DuPont, the heir to the chemical fortune. He was convicted of murdering Olympic wrestler Dave Schultz. Steve Carell plays John DuPont. The performance is getting raves. Let's listen to a little. This is Steve Carell again playing John DuPont. And in this scene, he's talking with Channing Tatum's character. He plays Mark Schultz, the brother of Dave Schultz. Let's listen.
Do you have any idea who I am?
No.
Some rich guy calls you on the phone. I want Mark Schultz to come visit me. Well, I'm a wrestling coach, and I have a deep love for the sport of wrestling, and I wanted to speak with you about your future.
Wow. I understand that the visual is completely unrecognizable. Your thoughts on, you know, Steve Carell in this role?
Well, that's a great clip. That's actually the first time Carell's John DuPont meets Channing Tatum's Mark Schultz. And absolutely right. I mean, as great as the speech cadences are from Carell, the visuals and the kind of body language and the way he looks and moves is just unrecognizable. And it's extremely powerful, very haunting, very creepy. And, you know, I just came from a lunch with the cast of this film. And both Carell and Tatum, I think, have kind of these great reinvention stories. Neither of them, of course, known for this kind of drama. You look at what tends to work. Particularly as we get into Oscar season, a Matthew McConaughey-type narrative as we had last year with Dallas Buyers Club. I think we're going to have that again this year with Carell and Tatum. And the movie as a whole is just very powerful, very minimalist. You don't always know exactly every emotion that characters are feeling, but it's just still very compelling. The director is Bennett Miller, who did Moneyball and Capote. So I think this is a movie we're going to be hearing a lot about.
Well, it seems as if actors straying from their original roles might be a theme here, because I want to take a look at Robert Pattinson. He's, of course, of Twilight fame, but he's appearing in a couple of films at Cannes, including The Rover. Let's set this up. He plays Robert, a possibly brain-damaged young man, trying to catch up with his brother Henry. This is sort of, what, a post-apocalyptic movie, Steve?
Yeah, it's a very interesting role for Rob Pattinson, and absolutely right. He's kind of departing from a lot of the kind of tween and teeny bopper stuff he's done, playing in this post-apocalyptic Western from an Australian director named David Michaud, playing opposite Guy Pearce, who kind of is this sort of outlaw, as many in this world are, and they kind of end up forming this unlikely sort of Bonnie and Clyde pairing.
Okay, let's listen to a scene. It starts with Robert Pattinson, again, playing Robert. Let's listen.
Because I believe in God, and I know Henry believes in God, and there's no harm Henry wants to see me come to. And I believe in that.
You look at the harm you've come to, and where's Henry?
And waiting for me.
He's not waiting for you.
Yes, he is.
No, he's not. I'll tell you what God's given you. He's put a bullet in you.
So, Steve, very dark. And Pattinson is also in another film that's getting a lot of buzz, David Cronenberg's Maps to the Stars. Tell us a little bit about that film.
Yeah, Pattinson has a very small role in that film. He's actually probably one of the better adjusted characters in it. This is a movie that is kind of a very cutting satire of Hollywood. Cronenberg, of course, known for The Fly and Dead Ringers and this very kind of graphic genre material. Here he spends most of the film really looking at Hollywood and some of its discontents, really kind of poking holes at a lot of the pretensions and insecurities in that town. And that movie's really caused a bit of a stir here in Cannes because, first of all, anything Cronenberg does tends to provoke, but also because this is a town this time of year that's very much filled with industry players and types, and this is a movie that really attempts to skewer a lot of what happens in Hollywood. So I think it's kind of ripe for that sort of provocation.
Okay. Well, we want to touch on another film that's getting a lot of attention. This is, after all, in France. It's not an official entry to the festival. It's called Welcome to New York. It's a thinly disguised accounting of the sexual assault case against the former Monetary Fund head Dominique Strauss-Kahn. Gerard Depardieu plays the character that's supposedly inspired by Kahn. This has generated a lot of controversy there.
It absolutely has. And, you know, this is not a particularly good film. As you said, it was not officially accepted in Cannes. It was just kind of shown on the sly here to reporters and to distributors. But, you know, DSK is a guy who is just polarizing in France and around the world. I think what's interesting about this film is that you have Depardieu, who's not really known for playing these kind of robust historical figures, doing this portrayal. It's a very cartoonish kind of depiction and characterization. And there were moments during the film when I was watching it and thought, well, this would kind of be great if it somehow segued into Green Card or one of his broad comedies, because this is one of the better accidental comedies I've seen in a long time.
So there's that. Well, Steve, there you are at the Cannes Film Festival. Just an overarching thought about the festival this year. Some people wonder if it's being supplanted by, you know, festivals like Sundance. You have this huge controversy, as you mentioned at the beginning, over Grace of Monaco. Which, just your overarching sense about it.
Yeah, well, Cannes wouldn't be Cannes without a good controversy. I remember 3 years ago we had the infamous Lars von Trier Nazi press conference, and something like that seems to come along every year or two, and certainly this year is no exception. I do think this still it has long been and remains the preeminent film festival in the world, and I think when you do have movies like Foxcatcher or The Rover that are just kind of standout pieces of art that I think we're going to be hearing about for a long time, it really does serve to reinforce this festival's place on the calendar. But again, it wouldn't be complete without a good controversy or two, and I won't be surprised if we have one or two more before all is said and done here.
In which case, we'll call you. Steve, thanks so much.
Thank you, Robin.
LA Times film writer Steve Zajcik at the Cannes Film Festival on the French Riviera.